Psalm 100. Some of you, your pages may flip open to that because you love Psalm 100 so much. Amen. But Psalm 100, we're not going to do the praise God from whom all blessings flow, because I want to leave you with God is so good on your mind and on your hearts as we read the fifth stanza of Psalm 100. So far, we've talked about the Lord is my shepherd. And then the first week we saw the Lord is my, gave some definitions there. According to verse number 5 of Psalm 100, we find the Lord is what? Good. Amen. So that's what we're talking about today. The Lord is good. You see that over on my left side here. The Lord is good amongst many other things. We've already seen him as our shepherd, and now we're going to see how good he is. By the way, if you're here, he's good to you. Amen. That's why we sang the song, God is so good, he's so good to me. Let's read verse number 5 together. Here we go. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. As we look at this truth today, the four previous verses of things listed show you why we're saying for the Lord is good. And we'll look at those four things after we look at verse 5, and then we'll kind of backtrack and go the other way. By the way, to understand Psalm 100, it is a prophetic psalm. What do I mean by that? This is going to happen during the millennial reign of Christ. When he sets up kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years, that's when this is taking place, and that's what this setting is. So to understand that, you've got to understand what's going on here. Amen. Because it says down there in verse number 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Right now, all lands don't do that. But in the millennium, guess what? They will. Amen. They will. There will be no sin. We'll have glorified bodies. Amen. And a lot of things going on here. So we're talking about all nations being called upon to praise the Lord as their creator, as their preserver, and as benefactors as well. This won't happen until the millennial reign of Christ, but we can still get involved in the principle of what this is talking about and praising the Lord because he's just good. Amen. And that is a blessing. Amen. By the way, as the Lord is good, all of us should unite in praising him and adoring him. If for no other reason, we are saved. Amen. And we can start praising him right now. By the way, church should always be a place where God is praised. All lands are going to do it eventually, but church should always be a place where God can be praised, and you should not feel any shame, any embarrassment of saying amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, whatever it says, you want to raise a hand, the house of God is a place that you can do that, amen. Now, you go out in public, they may look at you crazy, but in the house of God, you have that liberty because God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Father, speak to our hearts this morning as we consider this subject that, Lord, you are just plain old good. Lord, there are a lot of great things out there, a lot of good things out there, but none compares to how good you are to us. Lord, we don't know what our need is going to be tomorrow. We don't know what our need is going to be this week, nor do we know what it's going to be like in the remainder of this month or the remainder of this year. But Lord, I believe that we can all agree that we do know that you're good, and you're good to us, and you'll be to us and for us whatever we need you to be every day of our lives. Lord, so work in our hearts, work in our lives. Help us to come before your presence today with a worshipful heart. Lord, a heart that says, I want to be praising God. I want to be worshiping God. I want to give God my very best, my very all. Everything that I have belongs to him. And God, as we look at this, although it's a prophetic psalm, one that will take place in days to come, help us to be known as a praising people, people that give you glory and give you honor just because you're good. We thank you so much for loving us, Lord. I pray for every heart, every mind, and everybody that is here, that we would be arrested by your Spirit and captivated by your presence and recognize that we stand in awe of you, who is Almighty God. Thank you that you are our Jehovah, the self-existent one. You are our Savior as well, and you're our Shepherd, the one that leads us. And Lord, as we're being led to your word today, open our hearts, open our minds, that we may receive the word of God that's poured in as it's preached. May we receive that food that's necessary for our very sustenance and our survival in a wicked world. And help us to be changed into the image of Christ's likeness. Help us to be transformed, Lord. Help us to be renewed that, Lord, when we step out of these doors, we came in to worship, but we go out to serve a holy God. And may we go out differently than when we came in, more knowledgeable about your will, more knowledgeable about your ways, and then do that which you have called us to do. Each one of us, different sheep going in different directions, but serving the same God. And help us to manifest your glory to a world that needs to see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Save a soul that's lost today. Help a man, woman, boy, or girl to, Lord, praise you a little better today when it's all said and done. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And Miss Tony's got our special. They talk about how good God is, and so I'm not going to do that, amen. I'm going to make sure that we can get to it and look at the passage here and share a few thoughts with you this morning in regards to this area. But I did share the first thing with you already. This is a prophetic psalm when I say that. And by the way, where's Takesha at? She here? Okay. If I start choking, amen, I got a cough drop in my mouth. So if I choke, give me the Heimlich maneuver, amen. I've got to get something going down because my throat is really bothering me right now. Amen. So I'm going to try to get through this. So if I turn green, if I turn blue, and if I pass out, y'all come up here, thump me a couple of times, I'll get right back and keep preaching. Amen. If not, Pastor White said he'll take it and he'll go from there. Amen. All right. He'll step right in there. Amen. So far, we've talked about the Lord. And we said this, David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And we looked at the first three words on the very first message, the first four words, the Lord. And David said he's powerful. He's a self-existent one. It's Jehovah. And then we said the Lord is. And David mentioned is, he has potential to be what we need him to be. Then we looked at the Lord is my. David said he's personal. He belongs to me. He is my. And then we looked at shepherd. And that was the first two messages dealing with the Lord is my. And then we looked at the Lord is my shepherd. He's going to guide me. Today we're looking at the Lord is good. By the way, let me give you this bit of trivia that I found very interesting. The Lord is my shepherd, ironically, in the entire Bible is only found once in Scripture. And it is said by David. Now, it's alluded to about us being the sheep of his pasture and things of that nature. But the specific phrase, the Lord is my shepherd, is used only once in Scripture, and it's only used by David. Interesting. Interesting. However, the phrase, the Lord is good, is found seven times in seven different chapters of the Bible in five different books. Three times in the Psalms, one time in Jeremiah, once in Lamentations, and one in Nahum. And I'll read parts of those verses. You don't have to turn there. But of course, you find right here in Psalm 105, the Lord is good. In Psalm 135 in verse 3, you find the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name. Psalm 145 in verse number 9, you find the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Jeremiah 33:11, you find praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. Lamentations 3:25, you find the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Nahum 1:7, you find the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. So it's ironic that it's only found once, the Lord is my shepherd, that phrase, but you look at the Lord is good, found seven times. That is amazing. I think God wants to know not only that he is our shepherd, but that he is good. He's just plain old good. look at your life and see how good God's been already. Just today. Just today, we've got ears, we've got feet. I mean, most of us woke up and had something to eat. If you didn't, Reyes has bought some snacks for you, some cookies, amen. You had a McMuffin this morning, amen. We had good things happen already, and it's not even 12 o'clock yet. How many of y'all breathing? I hope you are. If not, Takesha's standing by. She's a registered nurse. She'll administer CPR, amen. Only thing we don't have is one of those electrical things, but we can do like the cartoons and get some extension cords and hook them up to you, amen, and kill you for sure, because we know not how to administer any of those electrical shocks, amen. Hey, what am I saying? God has been good to us already. He's been good to us already, amen. And so we find the phrase seven times in the four previous verses of Psalm 100, before we get to five, we find the reasons that, the psalmist says, verse five, the Lord is good. And before we do that, let's start at verse number five. And it says, for the Lord is good. And I want to give you some definitions. How many of y'all like definitions? I love definitions. I probably should have been one of those teachers in the school or something like that, that gives you definitions all the time. Because I love finding out what words mean, because if I know what they mean, now I know how to apply it. If I don't know what they mean, it's hard to apply it. Amen. And sometimes a word that I think I know, I really don't know. Amen. And so let's pick apart some of these words here in verse number five, because the psalmist says, for the Lord is good. He's given us some reasons in verses 1, 2, 3, 4. And he says, now this is because of, amen, the Lord is good. And whatever I should do in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, I do it because the Lord is good. And let's see it. The Lord is good. Good means excellent or pleasant or precious or sweet or beautiful. How many of y'all would agree that the Lord is precious? Sweet. He's beautiful. Amen. He is precious, sweet, beautiful, pleasant. Excellent is the idea of good. Beneficial also comes to mind. For the Lord is good. Then it says his mercy is everlasting. Mercy comes with the idea of his loving kindness or his favor towards us or his good deeds towards us or his pity towards us, much like you would do to your children. So it says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Everlasting. I love this definition. It comes with the idea of time being out of mind. How many of y'all, when you go on vacation, you just like to throw time away? I just stay here forever. I don't have to go back to work. I don't have to go back to being a mom or a dad or a butler or whatever. I don't have to go back to, time is out of mind. I don't have to worry about anything. I've got no time constraints whatsoever. Some lady say, I want that when I go shopping. My wife does not like going shopping with my boys and myself. We like, let's go in, let's get it, let's get out. She's like, but wait a minute, let's look over here, and I think we need this. And, and we're like, no. And I say, boys, I saw this growing up with my mom. And so now you have to deal with it. We're going shopping. They don't like it. Now, my wife, rarely does she spend extended time shopping unless it's for groceries. And it's because of the three hungry children that we have. And she's buying most of the things for these hungry, hungry children. And shaking their heads. No, you know it's true. Amen. And so she wants to buy all the things for the children to make sure they have what they need. And they, of all people, should have no problems with going to get the cereal and the cheese and all the stuff that they drink up, chocolate milk and orange juice and apple juice. But they still don't like going shopping. Amen. But thinking about this, the word everlasting means time out of mind. It means always, continual, or eternal. It means long-lasting, perpetual, and I like this one, at any time. At any time. Everlasting means at any time, without end, time out of mind. His mercy is time out of mind. His mercy is always. His mercy is continual. His mercy is long lasting. His mercy is perpetual. His mercy is at any time. His mercy is without end. Praise God, that's good. That's good.
It says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Don't run out of mercy when it comes to me, Lord. I need all the mercy I can get. Some of you probably say the same thing. Be merciful to me, Lord, a sinner. I need all the mercy I can get. What is mercy? Not getting pretty much what we deserve. You get a parent, get ready to deal with a child. They say, have mercy on me. We got this one song by the Baldwins. It's called Lord Have Mercy. One of my children was going to get dealt with, and they start singing that song, Lord Have Mercy. I'm glad you're praying to the Lord, because it's not going to work with me. There's no mercy. Amen. Doesn't work for me. Amen. And so, Lord, it says, the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. Listen, and his truth endureth to all generations. Truth comes with the idea of having his moral fidelity or his firmness or his word being secure and stable and faithful and steady. His truth. Glory. Aren't you glad God's truth is sturdy, steady, stable, secure, and firm? We can stand on where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We can stand on when the psalm said, thy word is truth. And when Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. We can stand on that. It's firm. It's secure. It's stable. And so they say, for the Lord is good, excellent, pleasant, precious. His mercy is everlasting. His loving kindness is at any time. It's continual. His truth or his word is firm, steady, secure. And it endures to all generations. That means a revolution of time and age. Evermore, over and over, to every person, at every time, and every nation that ever lived. Praise God. That's good. That's good. Do you know one thing that's never going to come to pass? The word of God. A lot of things will come to pass, but he said, my words will never, never cease. Man. Folks, we're saved by the word of God. Bible says we're kept by his power and we're saved by his word. So the psalmist says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. And because the Lord is good, how can we respond right now? That's what verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 say. Verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 say, this is how you can respond. And why should I respond that way? For the Lord is good. Amen. Let's see what they say in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Because the Lord is good, the psalmist says in verse 1, there's a call to praise the Lord, all ye lands. In other words, we should praise or sing. Amen. How many of y'all like singing? Amen. I love it. Once you didn't raise your hand, you know you like singing. You get in the shower, start, somebody come in, stop that noise. Hey, I'm singing in here. Can I sing in the shower? Or you're in the garage working on something, start singing that song, whatever it is, amen. Or you're over here singing that song, and then somebody catch you and you stop singing. Hey, this is prophetic. This is in the millennial. Guess what? We're not going to have any problems singing. I believe we'll be giving the angels a run for their money. Amen. Why? The angels have never been lost, so they don't have to get saved. We have been lost before, and we are saved. Amen. We have something to sing about. Amen. We have the song of the redeemed. I love that song. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Because the chorus says, save, save, my sins are all whatever, and I know I am saved. Saved. And others say, glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved. I love singing that song. I mean, there's nothing like singing with a group of people. We go up to the men's conference all the time in October, and to hear those men sing. Brother Dave, you went with us this year, didn't you? Didn't you like singing, hearing those men sing? And these are all male voices. There is not a girl, lady voice in the auditorium. Just all men. And you hear the bass, you hear the baritone, you hear the tenor, you hear the falsetto, amen, and everything in between. And the men sound good. What did he say in verse 1? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Folks, one day that is going to happen. Everybody will be praising the Lord. Jerusalem will be the head of worship. Jesus Christ will be there. That's where worship will be dedicated and headed to. And so the psalmist says, there's a call to praise the Lord. We ought to sing. We ought to sing. Amen. By the way, during the millennial reign, we will willingly praise the Lord. Why? We have our glorified bodies. Think about this. Going into the millennial reign, it will start off with only saved people. Every lost person at that time will be in hell. All right? The millennial reign will start off with all saved people. And what do saved people do in church? Praise God. And so the millennial reign, when he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, everybody in every land at the beginning of the millennial reign will be saved. Now, those people that go into the millennial reign, when they marry and have children, will their children be saved? No. They have to make a decision to trust Christ themselves. But starting off in the millennial reign, everybody will be saved. And this setting is in the millennial reign where everybody is saved. Can you imagine a place where everybody, what if everybody at your job was saved? Everybody at your job was saved. Whether you work at the hospital, the dentist's office, McDonald's, or Walmart, what if everybody was saved there? What a place that would be. And what if every customer that came in were saved? What a place that would be. What if you go out to Fry's and everybody is saved? The grocery man, the milk guy, the fish guy, the one making the pastry, the one selling the donuts, Joshua, they're all saved. Man, that'd be great. Folks, I only had that experience once in my life where everybody in my office was saved. I got saved. I led my two coworkers to Christ. They got saved. Then I led my boss to Christ. He got saved. And our whole office was saved. There was four of us in there. And all four of us were saved. People used to tippy-toe when they walk in there. What's wrong? Well, we can't curse. You don't know any other words? Say, it's all, lips all. What's wrong with y'all? Well, if we say the wrong thing, y'all going to get on us. No, if you say curse words, I'm going to get on you. Amen. Because these are God's people in here. And I used to pick with them all the time. They say, well, what are we? I said, y'all are heathens. And they would look at me and they say, what's a heathen? I said, someone that doesn't know God. They said, well, I know God. I said, but you're not saved. And I used to pick with them all the time. One time the guy said, oh, well, what are we then? I said, you're puppets of the devil. And, he said, Paul, I said, yeah, because you do what the devil asks you to do. He said, hey, he said, we're puppets of the devil. Actually, he told me that. He said, so you're trying to say we're puppets of the devil? I said, you said it, yes. And he went and told all the other workers, we're puppets of the devil. And I thought, well, you said it, not me, amen. I said, well, let me ask you this question. I said, God is my father, who's yours? He said, well, I go to church. I said, if I go in the garage, does that make me a car? He looked at me. I said, does it? I said, everybody said they're Christians, not a Christian. I said, I repented of my sins and asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. How'd you get saved? Ooh, he didn't have a story. I said, let me tell you how to be saved. And I gave him the clear plan of salvation. Now, did he get saved? I don't know if he did or not. But I know one thing, I was saved. Hey, everybody at this time is going to be saved. The psalmist opens with a call to praise. We won't be marred by the flesh anymore. We won't have any problems making a joyful noise unto the Lord at all. Nobody's going to have to prompt you and say, sing out. Whoa. No, or louder. Whoa. Nobody's got to prompt you to sing. You're going to sing because you love God. You'll have a glorified body and you'll have plenty to sing about. Right now, we're cumbered with the flesh. We're cumbered about our job. We're cumbered about our children. We're cumbered about money and cars breaking down and this, that. And we're cumbered and we come into church and it's like, God is so good. God is so good. Hanging on by sheer will. God is so good. I'm about to perish in this song. And we come in with the flesh on us, and we really can't praise. Folks, in this setting, we're not going to have that problem. Not going to have that problem. You're not going to have to worry about any problems whatsoever, just serving the God of heaven. Hallelujah and praise God. Hey, what does he say here? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. He opens with this call to praise, and so we should sing. Right now, every land experiences God's goodness, amen? Every nation can praise God for the sun, the moon, the stars, the air, the water, the birds, the trees, the bees. By the way, how many of y'all like looking at stars? I love looking at stars. I love trying to find a Big Dipper, a Little Dipper, and all the rest of the stuff up there. Most of it I can't make out, amen? I've got to have some kind of book in front of me to see what it is, because they say, that's Orion's belt. I'm like, I can't get that. That's this. I said, the only thing I can make out is the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. The rest of it looks like spots. Amen. Any of y'all have problems with that? Amen. Like, well, you know, it's, you know, this and it's the bear and it's this. And I'm thinking, I don't see that up there, but I like watching it anyway. Amen. Hey, we have the stars. We have the bees. Do you know without bees, we don't get pollination? We need bees. How many of y'all saw that bee movie? They took away them bees, things start dying. And yeah, you need bees. Animals, fish. I love fish. I love going to aquariums. We went to the Atlanta Aquarium one time, and there was a big old fish. Now, I don't know what it was, but it was huge. I mean, it had to be from here to there. And it wasn't one of those sharks. It was just a big fish. And Faith was little, and Faith was standing right in front of the glass. And that fish did not move. He stood like right here. And I went over and I told Faith, he said, I can eat you. He looked right at us. He would just open his mouth and she would have sucked right in there. He was just that large and she was just that small. She was only about yay big. And Faith looked at him and he looked at her and his mouth was kind of like. And he didn't move. And she didn't move. Finally, she moved, and he just kept kind of looking at her. She would be tasty. Now, they feed those fish all the time to make sure they don't bite anybody, amen. But I love fish, amen. We can praise the Lord for those things, amen. Everybody has those things. We can praise him for our eyes, our hands, our feet, our ears, our minds, our tongues. We can praise God. Everybody has that opportunity. Hey, but we have something most people don't. We're saved. We can praise God for being saved. Hey, we are secure. We know we have eternal life. Why? His truth endures forever. Amen. Hey, it's like having a newborn when you bring them home. Amen. I'm freshly excited about this thing. Amen. So the first verse opens with a call to praise the Lord. We should sing. Verse number two, because the Lord is good. The psalmist continues with a call to serve the Lord. Amen. And to sing to the Lord as well. Notice what he says there. He says, serve the Lord with what? Gladness, come before his presence with what? Singing. In the millennial reign, we're not going to have any problem serving the Lord with gladness. We're not going to have any problem singing with gladness as well. What does that word mean? The word serve there in verse number two means serving with gladness means glee, joyful pleasure in service. Serving the Lord with gladness, coming before his presence with singing. The word for singing there is joyful and triumphant praise. Why can we do that? Because we're saved. Because we're saved. And because I'm saved, I can sing. Because I'm saved, I should serve. You say, wait a minute, we're in heaven, we're praising the Lord in Jerusalem. So why we have to work? Why we got to serve? Folks, what do you think you're going to do for all eternity? Sit on a spiritual hammock? And go back and forth. Hear that music? No. We're going to be serving. Think about this. This is the millennial reign in Jerusalem. People are still being born all over the globe. Nations are still thriving and prospering. There will be a whole bunch of saved people. And some of the rewards that you and I get is for our service now, and some of us may be in charge of cities and towns and peoples and groups. That's part of the reward. Whom much is given, much will be required. If you're a faithful steward now, some of the rulership that you get, maybe you could be a mayor. Maybe you may be a council member. You may be in charge of a city or a state, much like we have now presidents and mayors and senators and congressmen. God will set up his leadership in Jerusalem, and the saints are going to be the ones in charge of all of that. Ain't y'all happy? And I guess I better start working. Right now, I'm just going to be a janitor. Amen. Hey, we need those too. What am I saying here? There should be some gladness in serving and gladness in singing, because that's what's going to happen. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Amen. By the way, notice what the Psalms say about a new song, because we should have a new song. Psalm 40 in verse 3 says, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. How many of y'all, when you first got saved, you felt like singing? I did. And you know what? I didn't know any Christian songs to sing. So guess what I sang when I first got saved? I sang worldly songs. I didn't know what else to sing, but I was happy. But let me tell you what happened as I sang my worldly songs. I started thinking about what I was saying, and I heard what I was saying. And guess what happened when I heard what I was saying? I said, oh, my soul. I thought about it, and I listened to another song, and I thought, That doesn't glorify God. That doesn't praise God. That doesn't talk about me being saved. That does the opposite. I said, I don't think I should do it. Let me tell you this. I didn't hear one sermon on music. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I didn't hear one sermon on music. I didn't hear somebody get up there and say, ah, rock music and rap music is of the devil. Ah, yeah, throw that stuff out. I didn't hear no sermons like that. What did I hear? I heard preaching about God and his righteousness and his holiness, and I found out that my music was not. I packaged it all up. Folks, I was a DJ on the radio. I was a DJ at the nightclubs. I was a DJ in all of the school dances in college. I had a library that you wouldn't believe. I packaged all that stuff up. I set it right outside for the dumpster and came right back in the house. I hadn't heard a message on it. I knew that what I had was not making a joyful noise unto the Lord, and it wasn't coming before his presence with his type of singing. There is a way to praise the Lord. There's a way not to praise the Lord. And that way wasn't. When I first got saved, I didn't know any other music. That's all I knew. I heard Amazing Grace, and I heard a couple other songs, but that was about it. I've heard We Come This Far by Faith. The choir was singing that. We come this far. By faith, they be getting down. We like, woohoo! They be, and the congregation out there like, woo! Leaning on the Lord. And I thought, whoa! I heard it sang a different way when I got saved. And I said, man, that's different from what I grew up with. I didn't get any gospel, but I got a whole lot of gospel songs. What am I saying? There's a difference in the millennial reign. The singing that we have is going to be in his presence, and it'll be pleasing to him because it'll be pleasurable to him, and it'll be pleasurable to us. Why? Because we have a glorified body, and we don't have to worry about the flesh and the movements and the herky-jerky that we have. We don't have to worry about that then. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Psalm 98:1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. Psalm 149 and verse 1, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. What am I saying? You shouldn't be singing the same things that you sang before you got saved. Amen. Say, preacher, what's wrong with it? What's right with it? Now, I'm not saying you chuck everything like I did. That was my conviction that God placed on me. He doesn't do that to everybody. But he did it to me. Why? I had a soft spot for music. I had a very tender spot for music. I love, my wife will tell you, time I wake up, I turn music on as soon as I wake up in the morning. And that music stays on all day until she turns it off or until we leave the house. And when I come back, one of the first places I go, after I turn on my lights, because I still like my lights, is I turn my music on. Click. My wife said, how can you have music all day? I need silence. Music for me is like silence. It's soothing. It does something for me. Everybody is so different. And so I knew music for me was a problem if I didn't have the right type of it. Why? It does something to me. And if I got the wrong type, guess what it's going to cause me to do? The wrong thing. If I've got the right type, guess what it's going to cause me to do? The right thing. Why? It does something to me. It doesn't do that to everybody. My wife, she can hear music, won't bother her a bit. She didn't even hear it. But I hear it in the stores. I'm going already. Woo! I'm like, hey, we got to get out of this store. And go in another store, one of them other songs come on.
Oh my.
Woo! Oh, I got to get out of that store too. Is there any story? We was at the game the other day with Brother Aaron. I said, Brother Aaron, there's going to be some music on. Just warn you. And my wife said, Daddy, is that a new song or old song? I said, oh, baby, that's back in the days. And my mind immediately went right back there. And I'm thinking, oh, no, it came back to haunt me. And I could hear it. And I could see it. I'm not going to tell y'all who it is because then you'll know who it is. Then you'll go there. But it was one of them songs that catches you. And I'm like, and folks, for the next 3 days, that song was there. And I'm saying, Lord, I need a new song. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. Why? This thing is a computer. Once in, it's there to stay. The old man does not go away when you get saved. He stays dormant, waiting for the right song, the right picture, the right smell, the right thing. And the old man says, I'm just ready to resurrect. Boing, here I am. What do you want me to do? Moonwalk? Hey, Michael Jackson, Billie Jean. Hey, he's waiting. The Bible says a new song. Hey, what am I saying here? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Verse number three, he comes out. Verse number three. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What is he saying here? Because the Lord is good, it continues with a call to acknowledge the Lord as creator. We should submit to him. Notice what it says. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. In other words, Jehovah, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, he is God. God is Elohim, amen. He's the supreme being. He's the supreme one. The Lord Jehovah is the supreme one. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. You hear people saying, well, I'm a self-made man. The only thing that we can make is a mess. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. You're a self-made mess. That's what you are. We can't do anything. God is the maker of miracles. We are the makers of messes. Now, don't get me wrong. Man can make some great inventions and this, that. One thing he can't invent is the glory of God, the way to heaven, sanctification. He can't touch that. Now, he can take a lot of things. Now, praise God for Carver. He made the peanut and all this stuff out of peanut. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about holy things when it comes to a holy God. I'm talking about things that, praise God, man has no dealings with that. The only way we know how to praise God is from what he tells us on how to praise him. Amen. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are, notice that, his people and the sheep of his pasture. He made us. He is the maker of marvelous things. We are the makers of messes. He owns us. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Hey, he cares for you and I. Why? We are his sheep of his pasture. So he's going to take care of us. Notice it continues down there, verse number four. Not only because he continues with a call to acknowledge the Lord as creator, but verse number four continues with being thankful and praiseful to the Lord. We should sacrifice for him. Notice what it says. Enter into his courts with praise, with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be what? Thankful unto him and bless his name. You know what's marking this generation more and more? Thanklessness. This generation thinks they are owed something. Martin Luther King's birthday came around, and we took that time to share with our children some things of slavery and our past and our heritage. And they were appalled by those things. I said, yes, but somebody had to forge that path. Somebody had to change things. There was a time when ladies could not vote. Ladies were second-class citizens. You read the Bible, and in a lot of the Old Testament, they were just like servants. There was a time when somebody had to forge the path and set things right and say, that's not what God intended. God had something greater for this race. God had something greater for these people. God had something greater for those people. Somebody had to forge the path. But more and more, we're in a generation of thanklessness. Children don't even value school anymore. There was a time when we couldn't go to school. We couldn't go to school. And if we went to school, there was segregation. There was a time. Yeah, I don't want to go to school. You need to praise God that you get to go to school. It was a time when people could not go to school, and they had no education, so they had no job, so they had no employment, because they could not. A lot of the sharecroppers and the farmers, they couldn't go to school because they had to go right into the farm business. And slavery, they dare not teach a slave because he might learn how to run away and do something with his life. Thanklessness. Enter his courts, into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I'll show you several verses here real quick. Just dealing with the same thing coupled with giving thanks. Psalm 107 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 118 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. Psalm 118, verse 29. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 136 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Four different places that the Bible says, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? If for no other reason, he's good. And his mercy endures forever. Folks, what am I saying? We're living in a generation now. People are thankless. But there's coming a time here in this time, in this setting, when we're going to praise the Lord. We'll give him the sacrifice of praise. Psalm 107. You're in Psalm 100 right now. You're real close. Go to Psalm 107. Because this is where we're at right now. Psalm 107. And Psalm 107. Notice let's start in verse number 8. I'm not going to read the whole verse, but just a part of it. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his what? Goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. They go down here and they talk about all God's goodness and God's kindness toward the people. And then the people getting in sin and turning their backs on God. And it says, oh, that men would praise God for his goodness. Come down to verse number 15. What does it say again? Oh, that men would what? Praise the Lord for his what? His goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Why? They listed another set of things that they wouldn't do. Notice verse number 21. And what does it say again? Oh, that men would what? Praise the Lord for what? His goodness and his what? Wonderful works to the children of men. Come down to verse number 31. What does it say again? Oh, that men would what? Praise the Lord for what? For his goodness and what? For his wonderful works to the children of men. Over and over and over again, the psalmist has to say, oh, would to God men would praise the Lord just for his good. Why? Just because he's good. He doesn't, none of these things are even talked about yet. He's just good. He's just good. And he lists over and over and over the things that he's done. I wonder, how many times have we been so thankless to God? We complain about what we don't have instead of praising God for what we do have. It's too cold today. What, did you praise him for the heat? And it's too hot today. Did you praise him for the cold? The wind is too still. Did you praise him for the breeze? Well, it's too windy. Did you praise him for the still? We always want to complain Oh, we don't have. Well, why we got to eat oatmeal? Why we got to have cereal? Why we got to have peanut butter and jelly? How about having some rocks? My kids say, what we having? I say, poke and grits. Poke out your lips and grit your teeth. Amen. And that's not funny. We're really hungry. Poke and grit. Poke out your lips and grit your teeth. So my cousin you saw always say, what we having? Poke and grit. Poke out your lips and grit your teeth. Amen. I say, that's not funny. That doesn't taste good. Amen. Hey, Psalm 135 and verse 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name. Folks, because of verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, he says, hey, because of these things, he said, we should sing to the Lord, verse number 1. We should serve the Lord, verse number 2. Verse number 3, we should submit to the Lord. Why? He's the creator. Verse number 4, we should sacrifice the thanksgiving to him. Why? He's good in verse 5. And so, he comes down here and lists all these reasons why the Lord is good. Now, folks, this is in the millennial time. We're not talking about today. This is what's going to happen. Think about how good God is to us even right now. Now, we have just as much reason to sing now as they will have then. Why? The Lord is still good. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye are not consumed, he said. Because the Lord is good. By the time we reach verse 5, the psalmist is encouraging both them and us to praise the Lord. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. So they let them know to sing in verse 1, to serve in verse 2, to submit in verse 3, to sacrifice in verse 4. Why? Because in verse 5, he is good. The saved of all the earth will one day join and praise together the Lord, for he is good. But folks, today, even today, we can praise him for his salvation, his security, his songs that he gives us, his son. Our sins are forgiven. And that's just a start. That's just a start. There's so much more that God has given to you and I that we can praise him for. We just have to sit and say, God, let me just review my life. I like the song Tony sang. God's been good to me. I've look back and say, lately I've been looking back at all the things that I had more good times than bad. I had more up times than down. I had more plenty than lean. I've had more. Now, have I had my share of tough times, as the song says? Oh, yeah, I have. But I've had much more. Why? God's been good. And folks, God's going to continue to be good. He's going to continue to be good the rest of this year. He's going to be good next year. In the millennial, he is still good, because verse 5 says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Even then, he's good. He was good to Abraham. He was good to Noah. He was good to Isaac. He was good to Jacob. He was good to Cain. He was good to Abel. He's good to sinners. And he's good to saved. We just have to respond to his goodness. And Psalm 100 gives you the way to respond. Notice as we close, verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Sing. Verse 2, serve. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Verse 3, submit. Know ye that the Lord, he's God. It's he that made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4, sacrifice of thanksgiving. Enter in his gates with thanksgiving and in his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. In the beginning, they say, enter his gates with thanksgiving. At the end, be thankful unto him, bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. That's what you and I can do. Verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Everybody has the opportunity to respond to God's goodness. But the question is, will men respond? Will men respond? We can praise God for everything he's given us. And let me say, if you're not saved, he wants to save you because he loves you, because he's good like that. He wants to save you. He wants you to be his sheep. He wants you to be in his pasture. Why? He loves you. And he wants to forgive your sins. But you've got to come to him as a needy sinner and say, I've got sin, Lord. Will you please forgive me of my sin? And will you save me? And you will have something to sing about. you will have a reason to enter into his courts with praise. You will have that ability to recognize the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting towards you, and his truth indeed endureth to all generations. Let the Lord Jehovah forgive your sins and save you today, and you too can join praising him. If you're already saved, praise him every chance you get. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father, bless now these next moments as we consider how good you have truly been to us. Lord, you've been good. And help us to seek your face and your presence. Lord, we know one day in glory and the new Jerusalem in the millennium, this will take place, but God, there's nothing stopping it from taking place in our own lives right now. Help us to come with singing. Help us to make a joyful noise. Help us to serve you all with gladness. Help us to come before your presence with singing, knowing that we need to submit to you because you are Lord Jehovah. And help us, Lord, to be thankful, give you the sacrifice of praise because you're good. If there's one today without Christ, help that man, woman, boy, or girl to accept Christ. Help the Christian, the saint, to employ these four verses in their lives, if for no other reason, because they're saved and you're good to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Don't look at